This is JFM Podcast.
News headlines get us talking. For every story that makes the headlines, you need experts and analysts.
The complaint basically is they will say motivation. I mean, the pay is not good.
Motivation and even
tomorrow, and then we don't produce, we consume. You see, the social investment program was almost like a charity funding. Did it reach the poorest of the poor? And in what form? You borrowed and dashed people money. Dashed.
Every weekday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., join Ponsa Fanab and Gilbert Joseph on Nigeria at Sunset as they dissect trending political and social issues, bringing light to darkness and voices to silence.
Because as I am now, I'm a very confused man. Because whether to go to left or go to right.
Hello there, very good evening to you and welcome to the program Nigeria at Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. My name is Ponsak Fanab. It's a beautiful day, 22nd January 2024. Gilbert, good evening. How was the day? How was the weekend?
Good evening, Ponsak. It was a good weekend. I really did enjoy the weekend. I followed, of course, what happened yesterday at the Rampam Township Stadium, albeit, you know, via the airwaves. I followed the live transmission of that event, and it was almost as if I was, you know, savoring it like someone who was there in person. And I think that the biggest catch was the governor's confession that at some point he felt like throwing the towel, like just giving up, because apparently, you could tell he was under pressure, or he was troubled by the events of the time. And thankfully, all of that is now put to rest, and Plateau's interest will take focal point right now.
Yeah, well, yesterday was a Thanksgiving service at the Rampam Township Stadium in Jos, and different people from all parts of Plateau assembled there just to give thanks to God in appreciation of, you know, how, you know, the court cases, the election, and what have you. And I think that the governor was, you know, pretty much humble to make those remarks, to say that he almost threw in the towel, you know, considering the fact that, I mean, the heat was so
intense.
Yeah, it was intense. I mean, that is why, you know, personally, I don't, there are things that I know that I can't do them, you know. Personally, you know, the things that I know that I dare not do them because I don't have the capacity as a human being, you know, to do them. But, well, it's good to, you know, what you can do and what you are unable to do. I think that it makes life easy, you know, for you. And talking about this, one of the stories, you know, that I got from a very reliable source, you know, Gilbert, over the weekend, is that in the sporting sector in Plateau State, there's one appointee of Governor Mutfwang that even, you know, met with the opposition camp right now, that's the APC, and even wanting to strike a deal with them that if Nentawe comes, he's going to retain his, you know, appointment. When I heard that, I was, you know, taken aback. I said, is this all in the bid for people, you know, thinking about survival, or is it betrayal? Or, and look at the sector, is in football, you know. I'm not going to mention, you know, that person's name, but well, I know that with time we're going to, you know, unveil some of this investigation. You know, when I heard it, I was very, very, I wouldn't say I was very shocked, but it came to me with, I was surprised. I was very surprised, because human beings will always want to do all that they can, you know, to survive or to stay afloat. But all things, all this, you know, is over right now.
It's over. Ponsak, you just touched on something that reminded me. By the way, I read a deep piece about the Plateau event from the judgment right up till the conclusion and some recommendations made by a scholar. I'm sure I'm going to, you know, if you haven't, that is, come across that piece, I'm going to share it with you. And it was exactly some of the issues that were raised there. The question of loyalty, you know, and how it was tested all through the legal hurdles that accompanied the post-election era of this administration. And it's not quite surprising. This is what many politicians would have prioritized as against genuine loyalty, as against genuine, you know, partymanship, if you want to call it that way. But it's politics, and I think that was horrid. The person, whoever it is, was quite in a hurry to, you know, just secure his lot as far as appointment is concerned. And you never can tell, you know, you never can tell if it had gone the other way, even if he was going to be maintained. That's in his position, whatever it is. And for people who do these things, it means they are in confidence of what they can offer in terms of capacity, in terms of the technical know-how. Perhaps they are just there to fill in some quota, and that's what would have generated that sort of hurried step, because it's too sudden. I mean, why the anxiety? Taking too far. Why not stay? Well, I think it's something that leaves me marveling right now.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you the person who is going to be off air.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, what all the stories Gilbert had
before? Yeah. You know, the North, the Iowa Consultative Forum, you know, has been talking tough about some of the decisions of the federal government under President Bola Ahmed Tinubu to relocate, quote and unquote, one of the key offices of the Central Bank of Nigeria to Lagos. And that's its headquarters, and of course the Federal Aviation Authority of Nigeria, FAAN, to Lagos still. So as at the time he came on board, I think barely 2 weeks, I mean 2 months into his time in the office, the suspicion had been raised about, quote and unquote again, the Eurobanization of the country. And, you know, we have some of these sentiments come into the fray once people come on board into the positions of power and all that. You had that with former President Muhammadu Buhari. The accusation was that he had failed. You could even see lists of people and their region and positions or appointment, you know, filling in a certain list saying this person is from the northern part of the country, this person is from the... You could see that list fly up until about the 50th number. And the same thing attempted to repeat itself 2 months into his time, that is President Bola Tinubu in office. And you have this thing now coming. Usually there's a mutual suspicion, be it political, be it religious, be it, you know, ethno or tribal. You always have these things coming into the air. But the biggest challenge, the biggest task ahead of any leader is to be able to manage the diversity of the country appropriately, to put off some of these question marks that keep hovering. But the challenge and worry again comes to your table. For example, when Jonathan was president, you know, certain people said, look, he had abandoned his constituency, the southern part of the country, to extend too much of a handshake to the north. And then they said, according to, you know, analysts and onlookers, that he was betrayed when the D-Day came. So you have these things coming in the air, and it leaves leaders at a fix as to where exactly to focus their attention. Is it to prioritize the country? Is it just to give a meaning or to even give voice to certain clamors or agitations that sentiments are coming into appointments, sentiments are coming into policies of government and all of this? And so I think it's quite a tough one, but people have to question every move that government makes in the best interest of the country, not just a region.
Yeah, you see, one of the things that I've observed, you know, with our country is that we have, the way we construct logic and how we look at, you know, things in our society, with utmost respect, I dare say that it's very warped. When Goodluck Jonathan was president, people like the late Chiroma, you know, even at some point in time, even Buhari said that how Boko Haram was being prosecuted was a war against
the North.
Yeah, I mean, these are categorical statements. And they said that at the time, Chief of Army Staff, Ihejerika, on a mission, you know, to wipe Northerners, and what have you. And then, you know, Goodluck Jonathan. But when Goodluck came, you know, the Almajiri schools make sure that these guys get good infrastructure, you know, the Almajiri kids. But Warren Boko Haram, they said, no, he's, you know, he's fighting against the North. He has a vendetta, you know, against the North. When Buhari came, clearly he showed everybody that, look, I'm going to give Northerners, you know, everything. And then he gave, you know, Northerners everything. And Tinubu has come right now in the Northeast. We all know the problem, you know. So it's just an endless, you know, vicious cycle that we keep, you know, constructing logic, and nobody wants to address, you know, the problem. These people are not even, the ACF are not talking about how efficiency, what is the cost implication, the economic implication of moving this critical, you know, units in the CBN or the Federal Airport Authority. All they are concerned is about is leaving, Abuja. And one gets tired of, you know, saying this thing, because these things are just, you know, normal. When Buhari was there, the southern part of the country, they were shouting, you have to restructure, you have to restructure. People bought the argument that no, if we restructure our country, all of our problems will go away. I don't see, you know, it that way. You know, if society is going to be great, individuals in society have to play their own individual roles. There's something that Donald Trump, you know, said that I truly, that is very profound. He said that America is built on individual responsibility, you know, that individuals, you know, should have an obligation, I would say, or responsibility, you know, to the state by paying taxes, you know, obeying laws and what have you. But people think that until they do the interests of their region, there's poverty everywhere in Nigeria. It's not only one region of the country that you find poverty. But these elites are not talking about how to end poverty. They are not talking about how to end insecurity. In fact, if you hear them talk about how to end insecurity, all they care about is, at the end of the day, I'm going to be nominated, you know, to sit on that table. If I finish speaking, I'm going to get, you know, more in US dollars, you know, home. How about, you know, the little people? So I think that is. And that's why you hear in our news saying that we have ungoverned spaces. Mm-hmm. What kind of phrase is that? When I hear, you know, how news is being reported in Nigeria, at times I'll say, what is wrong with us? Why will you say this space is ungoverned? You are invariably or you are impliedly saying that, look, there is a government within a government in Nigeria. And the government is not 100% in charge, you know, in Nigeria. Or they are not even up to maybe 40% in charge. I mean, look at how the FCT has become the harbinger of criminals, kidnappers, you know, and what have you. And when Chinaza Phillips was arrested, some people on social media, and that's one thing that I don't like with social media, because they say, how about Turinji Bello? How about, you know, this person? How about, you know, the bandit? I said, okay, so in Nigeria now, if you catch our criminal, you need to catch your own criminal. So is he catching? Let's be catching. It doesn't, you know, make sense. That's why I say that the way we look at, you know, issues is a vicious circle that doesn't end. At the end of the day, who gets to benefit? It's still the political class. And little people like me and you are left at the mercy of. That's why you have people that. There are more churches than or mosques than industries in a society that wants to grow. When I heard the Vice President, Kashim Shettima, at the World Economic Forum, by the way, if you've not had a chance to follow the conversation, is a very, 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 is very important that you, I mean, even if you don't understand, or even if you understand but you don't agree with some of the submission of world leaders or captains of industry at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. I just read, you know, some of the things, you know, that they are saying. Nigeria has young population, but that young population, that's why you find young people in kidnapping, young people as bandits, young people as these, because they don't have industries. What they have is worship centers, and worship centers doesn't make you productive. They don't make you productive. If we want to grow as a people, we need industries. We need to get our manufacturing so that the young people will have jobs. It's going to take their minds, you know, off crime. They are going to have education to go to school, equip, you know, themselves with knowledge. But, you know, different things. Some generals woke up to say, if Tinubu wants to end insecurity, he's going to end it. I will say, how? Well, let's play this insert. Ali Pate, Minister for Health. When we come back, the show will continue. We'll have a guest. 16 members of the SACs. Will I say sacked now? You know, or unjustly sacked, because based on what the Supreme Court has said, unjustly sacked PDP members tomorrow. They said that they are going to the House of Assembly. We have one of them here is going to talk to us. When we come back, the show will continue. Stay here.
So people become cynical. Psychologically, when you say, I'm going to do ABC, people don't believe it. Because they've been conditioned, they've seen it, they've heard it. That's why we're talking less, and we're going to do more, and we're doing more. The reality of change will be what changes the minds of Nigerians. So you say, okay, something is different here. In the next 3 to 6 months, you will see groundbreaking. I'm not saying just plans again, but groundbreaking of major infrastructural investments to expand diagnostic capabilities all over this country, at least 8 of them, and 2 major oncology centers. This has been discussed for many years, but not executed. But this year, we are saying that we will execute it because it's a year of doing. And in many of our teaching hospitals, will upgrade the physical infrastructure so that they look better. I went to some of the teaching hospitals that have been tens of years, and you look at the physical infrastructure, you will almost cry when you look at the quality of the physical infrastructure. Not clean, paints have deteriorated. Go to the National Hospital here in Abuja, 25-year-old hospital, meant to be a quaternary hospital. I was there. You see dilapidated, obsolete equipment since it was put 25 years ago. It's here in Abuja, where all of us live, where the physical infrastructure is deteriorated, if you've been there. Now, that is going to change. So that Nigeria can go into a health facility and see, look, this is looking better. So it's channeling the resources to the front ends. And by the end of the year, let's then reassess what has been done.
Yeah, well, glad you're still here. The program is Nigeria at Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. My name is Ponsak Fanap.
My name is Gilbert Joseph.
We have the, what the Supreme Court is doing. Is it the former member of Representative Riom State Constituency, former Deputy Speaker, I would say, Right Honorable Timothy Dantong is here with us. Good evening. Thank you very much for coming, sir.
Thank you, Ponsad, but I think I have to correct the way you address me.
Okay.
I don't think I'm a former deputy speaker, but I'm present deputy speaker.
Okay.
Because there is no deputy speaker in the State House of Assembly as it is right now, until the House reconvene, and then the House may decide to read either a letter from me, either if I had resigned, or maybe a communication from the court or whatever, that we were around the House to elect a new deputy speaker. But as it is now, I remain, there has not been any communication from the House of Assembly to say we have a new deputy speaker now. So I still remain the deputy speaker of Plateau State House of Assembly.
Oh, well, okay. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Well, sorry about what happened, because it's a miscarriage of justice. Clearly what the Supreme Court said through Justice John Okoro, he said that he feel sorry that constituents, voted for their lawmakers. But of course, the appeal court, what they did, and you are here shouting on top of your lungs that, you have your authority, on good authority, that this is what is going to happen to you people. Would you like to tell us, what is the feeling, general feeling of the 16 members, of your party?
Thank you very much, Sponsor, and I want to appreciate the work you're doing here and Plateau people generally for standing with us even at these very difficult times. You all know it's not a new thing that an injustice was done to Plateau and to Plateau people in the Court of Appeal. And all Plateau people have been lamenting all this while over the situation. Our feelings as members as the 16 members that has suffered this injustice, is that we have a ray of hope as it is right now with the judgment of the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court came very clearly, like you said, that the judgment in the appeal court is a miscarriage of justice that is done. And the Supreme Court, which is the highest court of the land, has made it very clearly that that was a mistake. That was a wrongdoing. And in this country, we all know it, that even our constitution makes it very clear that if a wrong is done, there has to be a remedy. There has to be a remedy. That is where our hope is.
I mean, there's a principle in law that where there's injury, there's remedy. But let me ask you this question, and I know that you're a very honest and upright person. How do you feel, despite explaining to the court that, look, you repeated the congresses, but someone that was a delegate, I'm talking about Barrister Edward Pajok, you know, who was a delegate in that Congress, and you saw him on the other side, you know, saying that, no, you didn't comply with, you know, a court judgment. And of course, Honorable Beatrice Kaze, you know, your party presented a video evidence, him hugging Chris Hassan to say, look, yes, we've indeed complied with what the court said, and I'm going to cooperate with you. But someone like, you know, the revered and respected barrister Edward Pajok SAN, you know, who was a delegate in that Congress, but here you see, he was part of the legal team that, you know, said that, no, you didn't comply with a court order, and this is where we are now.
Yeah, Ponsard and Gilbert and all listeners, I want to make it very clear. You all know it. I overheard you discussing here about a commission or an appointee,
yeah,
who was trying to betray, you know, the trust on him, thinking something may come better the other side. So betrayal is what is always found in our Nigerian politics. A lot of people don't have the conscience, don't have the mind to say, let's do what is right, even for the sake of God. But there are a lot of people who are just pursuing after their personal gain and not after leadership. And so when you talk about the behaviors of the son who decided to run away because he was not given the deputy speakership position, the deputy governorship position,
though he didn't, there's no statement from him to say that was why he jumped.
No, but we all know it.
But
there are statements.
Yeah,
are
but statements in the public, he hasn't come out to say why I left the PDP.
Anyway, maybe when you invite him to the
to
the station, he will tell you clearly. But we all know.
Yeah.
Some of us were even supporting his becoming the deputy governor at that time. So we know what played out. We know the accusations he ran on some of us, on my boss, and some of them, the distinguished senator and others. That we are even to our father, that Jonathan, it was all public that he said, we denied him those opportunities. But it's God that gives power, and God placed in the hearts of the governor to nominate whoever that he feels he will be able to work with effectively. And, you know, those could be some of the reasons he left. And when he was pursuing this and was lobbying for it, you should know that he already knows that the stand of the party. If at a point in life he decided that PDP do not have structure, then why was he pursuing a position in the same party that he feels do not have structure? That's to tell you that there are people who their political ambition, or maybe the pursuit of political position in life, is just for their personal selves and not for the people as it is. Anyway, let me not dwell too much on that. Mm. But just to let you know that, you know, the court as it is, the disappointment we had from the court.
Yeah, but let me ask you before you proceed.
Yes.
If Barrister Pajok SAN comes back to the PDP, will he be received with open arms?
I'm not the party chairman.
No, so because I know that politics, I mean, things can change. Yeah.
There are processes that which people follow after when if they want to join a party. So I'm sure if you follow all the process and he is qualified to be Why not?
Okay.
The party may allow him to come back.
Okay.
But of course, we already know the kind of person he is. I'm sure the party will know how to treat him this time around. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you are saying that despite explaining, you know, to the court and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, during the litigation, a lawmaker, Right Honorable Yusuf Gagdi, came out to say, if we go to the Supreme Court, we shall know whom they know. And I mean, when you heard that statement before you were sacked, did you, you know, were you afraid, or did you have some reservation, or did you say, no, he was just empty, making empty bowls and nothing, you know, will happen, nothing is going to shake your seat?
Ponsa, you know that in Nigeria, we know ourselves and we know certain behavior, some certain people and the way they behave. When these judgments were coming up to the appeal court with all the things that they were bragging on, even the son himself, you're bragging and saying they know the ways in the Supreme and the appeal court more than we do. And we all, you know, begin to search and feel, where are these people getting this confidence? So we now understand that it's because of the president of the Court of Appeal seems to be more favorable to them, you know, and that demonstrates itself very clearly in her choice of people who sit on our judgment in Plateau. And since she couldn't find those kind of people who would deliver the kind of judgment she wants, as many as possible, she just relied on those three and kept them to sat on all the issues on Plateau. That has never been done anywhere, especially in the appeal court as it is. You know, that's to tell you that at the point we discover this was coming out, if you remember, I came here and I told you that the way things are going, we have seen that, you know, our case in Plateau has so much interest, a lot of interest, and those are the interests. It's not about the merit of the case as it is. It's not about justice, but the interest is to destroy the democratic structure in the state. And all lies were brought forth to be agreed on. If you look at all the evidence the APC brought, all their lawyers brought, there is no any iota of truth in all those things. And we would be surprised to see that a court, an appeal court for that, an appellant court, just agree on such lies without investigating. Even when we have our evidence before the court, that really shows that we obeyed court orders, that really shows that this is a pre-election matter. Nobody needs to be told. So long as you reach the amendment of the Constitution, the Electoral Act, you know what is pre-election matter. You know what is not. So it was just laughable to see that a court, an appellant court, go in that direction. Everybody in this country, I hope you know that everybody was worried, not only Plateau people.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, the reaction was all over. Even when the reactions were coming on television, they were still going ahead, because what they felt and what they believe is that once someone is being pronounced by the court, there is nothing you can do about it. And since the appeal court has been met to be the final destination of our cases, then they will go pronounce whoever they want to be the member, and then that stands. And they were thinking maybe they will use the same magic in the Supreme Court so that will cover their dirty jobs.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this question before Gilbert takes the next round of questioning. The action that tomorrow, you know, you said, based on the news item, media report we're getting, is that you are storming the House of Assembly in company of your constituents tomorrow. Is it a deja vu? Do you want to repeat what happened during the time of Lalong with Right Honorable Abok? That, you know, Lalong really, really dramatized and exert undue influence and didn't allow democratic processes. Are you wanting to show these APC members that, look, we have power now and we can do and undo because we will so much power? Or what is the intent, basically?
Thank you, Professor. You know, the truth is that we are not the 16 members. We are not just on our own being members of the State House of Assembly. We've been elected by the majority votes from all those constituencies. So we represent those majority votes. We represent people in our various constituencies. So whatever actions we are taking on behalf of those people. If we actually fold our arms and allow this injustice to prevail, it's like we have betrayed those trust of those majority votes that asks us to go and represent them. And the reasons why we are taking this action is because we have two conflicting judgments. And as far as we are concerned, the judgment that favors us most is the judgment of the higher court, the Supreme Court, that made it very clear that the judgment of the appeal court is a miscarriage of justice. And of course, that calls for us to take these actions. Let me give you an instance. Mm-hmm. If a thief, you know, someone is being convicted to have stolen, and then he's sentenced to life imprisonment or whatever years is given to be in prison. And then while he is imprisoned, you now discover that what you accuse him of stealing is not actually him. They found that which was stolen. Will you say, oh, because the judgment, the gavel has already been beaten on him, he should continue with the jail terms? Oh, he will be freed because it was discovered thereafter that that judgment was wrong on him, when you already have evidence. We have evidence now. And the evidence we now have are not just evidence that we are seeing plainly, but they are evidence that a superior court discovered and said, this is wrong. These people have obeyed the court order, these people, and this case, this court does not even have the jurisdiction. That means the action of that court, by the pronouncement of the Supreme Court, it shows that the action of the appeal court is a wrong action. They do not even have the jurisdiction in the first place. The tribunal do not have jurisdiction, the appeal court do not have jurisdiction to entertain that matter in the first place. So whatever action they've taken, it's a wrong action by that.
Okay.
And that's why we feel by this mandate given to us, we have the right now to continue our work, to continue as members representing our constituencies. And that's why we are bouncing back to the House tomorrow. I am going back there as a deputy speaker. And then whatever actions that will take place thereafter, you'll get to know about it.
Well, you were at the press briefing earlier in the day, and the majority speaker of the House, you know, referenced the fact that the other 16 in the APC would also be showing down at the State Assembly complex. I wanted to just get your reaction on how, you know, possibly tomorrow would look like if you turn out that's of the PDP and then they also turn out to their supporters. What sort of scene are we expecting? And, I mean, what's your call again to people, to citizens of Plateau State in terms of maintaining the peace, law and order?
I don't think our action tomorrow is in any way intending to breach the peace we have in the state. I don't think. And I don't think if you get it right that the majority leader says the other 16 members are coming. I don't see that men of integrity who were candidates of their party will lower themselves and will not have the integrity to obey the decisions of the Supreme Court by withdrawing or maybe returning the certificates that were given wrongly. I don't see them because I respect those people. And I know that people have been talking to them and they also been having some reasoning within them to see what they could do. It's not their fault anyway, but the court just pronounced them and then they went and were given certificate wrongly. So, but I know that in their positions, they may not make those such attempt to come close to the House of Assembly, talk of making an attempt to say they should be integrated as members. No, they will not do that. How will they even lead the people in that spirit? I don't think it's possible. So I don't think there will be any chaos tomorrow. It's going to be a peaceful sitting in the House. I know because the speaker is actually confused. He has said at some point that he has about 32 people claiming to be members, and he's confused on what to do. But I'm sure tomorrow, by the time he sees us there and he sees that those men of conscience who decided to withdraw because of the wrong that has been done are not there, he would continue with us.
Let's talk about the allegation or the claims in some quarters that, you know, they're attempting to defect to the People's Democratic Party and pledge loyalty to the governor. How do you react to that? And do you see, you know, the governor having in his large heart a space for them to defect and eventually get welcomed into the party?
Yeah, I think that is a welcome development because just like I said, it's not their fault. And for them to be candidates of their party It shows that they have some level of integrity in them. And if they are making attempts to come back to our party, there is the umbrella is very large enough. We have a governor in the state which has a lot of work to do, and the governor is ready to work for Plateau people. There are a lot of opportunities that they can be given to work in the state. So, yeah, it's part of the... Actually, there are issues that I don't need to even discuss more here. But I think there are some of the negotiations that they are trying to see how we can make Plateau peaceful, for them to come, join hands with us, and they be given some responsibility to handle in the state. They will. I'm sure the governor will be ready to do that. Just like in our case, as it is right now, the governor is neutral in this case. He is not taking any side. He's a governor of everyone in the state. So he's even governing them as members or candidates of the APC. He's governing everyone. And so he will be ready to take every necessary step to ensure we have peace in the state. So if they are coming to PDP and for him to welcome them, I think the governor has that large heart to do that and to even accommodate them and give them some responsibility to handle.
But before tomorrow, have you and your colleagues taken any legal action? Have you approached the court yet, either the appeal court or the Supreme Court, in terms of interpretation or a review with regards to this matter?
I don't think we need to do that. I don't think we need to do that because we are the ones that have the latest judgment of the Supreme Court.
But that was with regards to the governorship matters.
Regards to the governorship matters. And then it's also, points out that the judgment that was done against us was an injustice. And the higher court has made that pronouncement. Then I don't think we are the ones that need to go to court. We only need to resume our sitting, and then it will be left for whoever that feels is aggrieved to go to court. We are not making any attempt to go to court now because we believe that the pronouncement of the Supreme Court actually favors us. Not only because the judge made it very clear that the judgments that were done in the appeal court on this matter, the same ground of lack of structure, is a miscarriage of justice. So what are we going to court to do? What are we going to do in court again? When the court, the highest court of land, do we go to a federal court and tell them, interpret to us the decision of the Supreme Court? We don't need to do that. Maybe they are the ones that need to go to court and ask court to interpret those statements.
Finally, from here, the appeal court judges or justices, as it were, looking at their actions, those pronouncements they made with regards to, the federal and state lawmakers of your party, and in terms of remedying themselves or even, trying to purge themselves of some of those errors, what will be your call? Do you see that it's really important for them to come out and say, look, we erred in the part of caution, forgive us and apologize and then move on? Or you expect for a massive clampdown, from the appeal court president down to all of those justices who delivered the judgment?
I think steps have been taken toward addressing such in the NJC. I've heard about a committee being set up to review those judgments. And I'm sure out of that, those actions of the NJC, they will get to those judges. And I'm sure they will reach to a position that they will definitely come to apologize to Nigerians. Because it's not only in our case in Plateau, there were a lot of damage done in the appeal court. And I'm sure the NJC will address such issues. And that's why I told you earlier that we don't need to go to court, because the Judicial Council are already on this, on the process of trying to see what actually happened and bringing those judges to book and letting them, understand that they've actually done wrong in this country.
Yeah, right. Well, let's open the phone lines. We've been having a chat with the Right Honorable Timothy Dantong, We're looking at the action or the move by 16 members of the PDP tomorrow in company of their constituents. They are moving to the Plateau State House of Assembly complex to resume legislative work. And they are hinging their argument based on the Supreme Court judgment affirming Caleb Mutsvang's victory. And of course, what the court, Supreme Court, you know, said, determined as miscarriage of justice. I mean, what the appellant court did the 16 members of the PDP. You can join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. 081-2187-7777 or you call 090-556-6699. Gilbert.
Or go to Facebook and drop your comments on our JFM Live. On X, where JFM Joss would be taking them.
Thank you. Let's take the first call. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Yes, good evening, Pastor Fanat and Gilbert Joseph with the Honorable in the House. I'm Desmond from Barkilari.
Thank you for calling. We're listening.
Yes, that's our member. That's our the legal member. That's the legal member. He's the one in the studio. So those are the members we recognize on the plateau. So the other illegal members selected by the banditry court through the court of appeal.
Yeah, but you have to be very cautious. If you say banditry court, respect the judiciary. The judiciary. Go ahead.
Because the legal members have been invaded by the court of appeal judgment. She understand. So it's the man in the studio we recognize those people. I stand by them, and I want them to also gather their voice to also fight for the other senator in Plateau, Southern Senator. Honestly, you understand? Because if the answer is quite clear. The Supreme Court have already give out the picture of the justice due to the judgment that comes with the Barrister Caleb Manasseh Mutsvang. It simply shows that the APC members that have been, illegally comes in. They are the wrong members, and they are not the voice of the masses. We stand with the man in the studio. So the banditry court is supposed to give way for
but I think I have to cut you. You don't have to say banditry court. You know, respect the judiciary. Please, if you call, don't say if you are making any insultive comment or remarks on any person or institution. I'm just going to hang up on you. Hello. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Hello?
Thank you for calling. Hello? Okay. We lost connection there. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Hello, good evening, Mr. Ponsat, Gilbert Joseph, and our honorable in the building.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, this is Extravagant Malubi. I'm calling you from Jos.
We're listening. Thanks for calling, sir.
Yes, I think what is happening is like a music in my ears. Because if this group of people who were melted out this injustice did not do something or do what they are doing now, I would have been disappointed on them. In the first instance, I'm not a lawyer, but I know that you cannot build something on nothing. If I don't have the powers to give the GFM to Ponsat, and I did that, pronounced it, and tomorrow there's a reaction, and discover that I don't have the powers in the first instance to have gifted the GFM to Mr. Ponsat, will you say that for the fact that it's been given, it should stand? The answer is no. So if the appeal court in the first instance does not have the local stand, the jurisdiction in the first instance to entertain that case, it means that pre-election matter is not within their powers to have considered on. So whatever judgment they delivered on that stands null and void by the pronouncement of the Supreme Court. So as far as we are concerned on the plateau, these honorable members that were elected on the platform of PDP, both at the state level.
Hello? All right, we lost connection. Gilbert, take us through social media.
All right, let's go to Facebook straight away and look at the numerous comments that we have there. The first one says, okay, it's from Izan Kasi, and he says, I pray that it will start and end well. I do not want a situation whereby the state assembly will be locked for some months or years. They should follow the rule of law and let them not spoil the administration of BCM. And Cyprian Mafia is saying it is better for the APC court selected reps to resign and allow the elected choice of the people to resume work in order to make Plateau State to move Plateau State to higher heights. Desperation will not help the APC on the plateau. Rather, I urge them to come join hands with the administration, which is Excellency BCM, for us to have good governance. And Fel Kukagon says, Plateau will succeed. My speaker, Honorable Dewan Kudambena Gabriel, I trust you will handle the situation. What people need now is good governance. Tija Wang says, what does the law say about this type of issues? I pray that we should be law-abiding citizens and act under the ambit of the law. By implication, the House of Assembly should just be sealed to avert any breakdown of law and order. Wapnen Goma says, the Honorable Member, good evening to you. Question, sir, if the Supreme Court ruled out that the judgment sacking the PDP House members on Plateau State, in Plateau State, you wanted to say it's a miscarriage of justice and unjust, what is the next step to be taken? Sir, I need your response. And Moses Adinoye says, this issue should be resolved amicably. We don't want any political crisis on the plateau again. And Albert Dagza is saying, with no sentiments attached, I feel it's needless for the ousted PDP lawmakers in the state to make trouble in the House on its resumption from recess. If the National Assembly did not witness such from other ousted members, then why here? I feel it's needless. And John Paul Jacob says, the injustice meted out on Plateau State House of Assembly is totally unacceptable. So, for that, I advise them to take both political and legal measures to address the issue. May Plateau succeed. And Dakul John says, politics and play in both camps. On a lighter note, the event is expected to be interesting. However, on a somber note, it poses a significant threat to what His Excellency has in stock for the people. Have a good evening, Ponsak, Gilbert, and the guests. Katala Ayuba says, I see no sense at the point they're driving at. Judgment in proxy. It is anarchy they are prompting. Let him and others that were sacked follow what is right to address their grievances. Hapsin Manasseh says, I think for me, the seat should be left vacant since both the two sides of the lawmakers will not be legal to be in that seat. As from tomorrow, according to the verdict by the Supreme Court, until when election is conducted. And finally, Sitkuka Gabriel Ginimbi says, those recognized by the law and constitution of Nigeria should resume. Any other person that is recognized by the law is say, all right. Ponsak, yeah. We have these comments in their droves.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, let's take phone calls. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
God bless you, Mr. Ponsak. My name is Benedict Collins from Selengada.
Thank you for calling. We're listening.
Before I start, may God Almighty bless you, Barrister Edmunds Anderson, Governor of the PP. You see, Ponsak Fanab, I am not a lawmaker. I'm not a politician, neither am I a lawyer. But I used to hear, even from the radio, from JF, the lawmakers being called honorable. Please, I don't know if I'm right. They are being called honorable. And in a situation where so-called honorable started doing something that is honorable, please, how do you address him? Because when somebody who knew that he lost election, and by peradventure, the Court of Appeal erroneously asked him to take over the mantle of leadership, occupying the seat which he knew, he said that he never won that election. And even the court that actually asked him to go and actually did that erroneously. Please, what is honorable about him going to drag a seat? He knew he never won. Let me say something last before I drop. Last week, Saturday, Friday, we invited the former Speaker of the House of Assembly. And he said that the Supreme Court's attitude is actually bookatured in this particular issue. Because this Supreme Court, this is not Supreme Court, this is Court of Appeal. Because the same Court of Appeal, according to him, the former Speaker of the House of Assembly, he said that
Justice Mukachu was actually favoring the APC lawmakers. According to her husband, he came out publicly to come and make that particular statement that has actually gone viral in Nigeria. And look at it, they're coming again to also happen again under the leadership of another woman again.
Thank you. This is much we'll take.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Good evening.
Thank you for calling. Tell us your name and join the conversation.
And our honorable member, authentic member. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Thank you.
This is Ishaya Ali from GL.
We're listening. Thanks for calling.
Now, what I will tell the court selected members, if they want to be honored in Plateau State, they should not even try to come to the assembly tomorrow. Because if they are low, they know what lawmaking means, and they know that the law says that the Supreme Court says that their judgment is not right. So they should know that they are not carrying the mandate of the people. They are carrying the mandate of Supreme Court. So it's not Supreme Court that they will be making laws for. So they should not come. They should rather allow the elected ones by us that will start on the sun and elect them to come and start the lawmaking of Plateau State. Thank you.
Thank you. There's much to take on the phone calls. Right Honorable Timothy Dantong, please go ahead and respond to the comment.
Thank you very much. I think I may not be able to respond to all because of
definitely.
Time, but just some few. Want to appreciate all those who actually demonstrate love for the state and for the voters in Plateau State by agreeing with the position of people who are of the court, you know, the Supreme Court, for the people of Plateau State who actually elected us to be their representatives, that should stand. Something on nothing, just like Pam said, you cannot put something on nothing. And I actually appreciate the way he puts it. And that is the position and the clear picture of the situation we have in the state. The APC were claiming that we had no structure, so you can't put something on nothing. Now that it has been discovered and from the Supreme Court that we have structure in the state, and so their judgment of the appeal court can be on nothing because it was based on that. So you can't carry that kind of judgment and put on nothing. And those are the positions, and I think I appreciate Pam for that. Exam expresses his fears of what will happen next, what will happen tomorrow, how it will start and end well. It's our prayers that everything in the state should go well. And we want to believe that there won't be any trouble tomorrow. You know, is it a workman that says tomorrow, what is the next step? And I think I have explained that, the next step after the Supreme Court judgment. It's just like if you caught a thief, you know, or maybe an armed robber broke into your house and break your door and are making an attempt to go in and steal, and then maybe they had to steal and just run away. And then because you went and hide somewhere, and the thieves have run away. What do you need to do? You go into your house. Do you refuse going back to your house because they made an attempt to steal and were not able to successful? Do you allow them to come back and steal what they intend to steal because they broke the door already? No. You go back and occupy your house. And that is just what we're trying to do.
All right.
Go back and occupy our house. It's unfortunate that our colleagues in the National Assembly, just like somebody said, in their case, there has been an inauguration already. That does not mean that they will not take necessary step to recover back their seats. They will do that. But in our case, there has not been any inauguration of any illegal member. So we have the right to go back to our house, and then to protect the house properly, that the bandits will not come back again.
Thank you so much, Right Honorable Timothy Dantong. There you have it. Gilbert, your final word.
Scripturally, they say wisdom is profitable to direct. I think it's on that note. I'll say good evening.
Yeah, well, tomorrow is going to be really interesting on the plateau. Political development, the times ahead are interesting indeed. My name is Ponsak Fanab. The news will come your way top of the hour, 6 o'clock. Do have a good evening. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.